Thank you, Kerry. It's good to be with you all. When you say that I want to be like Dave, I just think, oh, if only you knew. If only you knew what you were really saying. It's deeply disturbing. good morning, everybody. Kerry said who I am. This morning, I'm just going to be sharing about the Holy Spirit. You guys are doing a series on it. Yeah, because you're doing a series on it, I'm just going to share essentially what's in my head when I think about the Holy Spirit. You know, Dave's thoughts on the Holy Spirit is what you're getting this morning. I'm not kind of intending it to be like a really comprehensive overview theologically of the Holy Spirit. It's just kind of some of the things which I find helpful and stuff when relating with the Holy Spirit. I think it's good, like right now, just to recognize that like the Holy Spirit is here. Like God is in the room, and it's quite easy to sometimes just talk about God as if he's not in the room. It's actually like the Holy Spirit is just, he's with us right now. He's like, he's in us, he's around us, he's holding all things together, he's upon us. And just as, you know, as I talk, as we share, I suppose my prayer is that we all kind of just recognize the Holy Spirit, and that, you know, we just continue to honor him just as we go through this next half an hour or so. Holy Spirit, thank you that you're here. Help us to get to know you a bit more. Thank you that you love us. Amen. It's also going to be an interactive time, FYI. So I'm going to get you guys doing some thinking and some talking, and we'll see where we go. So it's been a cool week in Marlow this week. We've just done a Churches Together Kids Week, which had about 450 kids turn up and about 200 young helpers. Loads of, you know, pretty much the majority of those kids aren't churched. It's absolutely amazing just to see some of those guys, you know, just hearing about God and meeting with God. And it's a good week. Very stressful, though. Quite tiring. We also ran this, we started this thing this week, which was a cafe for all the mums who are kind of like drop their kids off, and the dads. And basically, they stop for, you know, coffee and a cake and stuff, and then we ask them two questions once we've got into conversation with them. The first is, hey, excuse me, can we ask you a question? And then they say yes or no. Normally they say yes. And then we say really simple question, which is, if God could do a miracle for you today, what would it be? And as a result, people then either go, oh, I'm not interested, or they actually give quite a vulnerable answer and say, oh, you know, well I'm going to court. You know, we had one family who were going to court. You know, relatives ill or whatever. And we just had so many opportunities throughout the week just praying for all these kind of parents. As we prayed for tons of people. We had people in tears. Absolutely awesome week. So, yay! Let's see what God's doing. But it's great to be back in River, because I've been with like the Churches Together. And even though I love what God's doing with the Churches Together, it sometimes gets a bit Churches Together-y. And it's like, yeah, I'm home, River, woo! So, it's good. Well done, Rob. Good worship. Overview. When I was a kid, we used to sing a song, which I think is quite profound, which went like this. The Holy Spirit is a he, not an it, not an it. The Holy Spirit is a he, not an it, not an it. The Holy Spirit is a he. Na, 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 na. I can't remember that bit. The Holy Spirit is a he, not an it. Fantastic. That's point one. Is the Holy Spirit is a person, not just kind of some, you know, weird personality-less, you know, ghost spirit thing. The Holy Spirit is actually, you know, Holy Spirit has a personality. I'm not necessarily sure if the Holy Spirit is an he, actually. You know, you could quite easily argue theologically that the Holy Spirit is a she. But let's not get into that. For the purpose of this talk, we will call the Holy Spirit a he. But I personally do have issue with an all-male God head, an all-male trinity. That kind of, it's mildly disturbing to me. So, but let's not go there. The Holy Spirit has very feminine traits, and lots of the words used for the Holy Spirit in the Bible are feminine words, so you know, you can see the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit also impregnates Mary, which is an issue. Which I was reading this morning, so I was... The Holy Spirit overshadows. The angel Gabriel says to Mary, you know, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and overshadow you. And so how does that work? The Holy Spirit like, kind of puts some messianic sperm into an egg. You know, how does that work, you know? The Holy Spirit's Jesus' dad. Is that the case? But also God the Father's his dad? And Joseph? I got three dads. It's a very modern family. It's downhill from here on. Seriously, you should be worried about Marlowe. Seriously. Seriously dodgy theological ground. Often people get kind of freaked out about the Holy Spirit. And I think sometimes it's because of, you know, manifestations and things like that, which happen in meetings. And we have this kind of abstract concept of the Holy Spirit being personalityless. But I actually think that there's no reason to be freaked out, really, when you think about it, about the Holy Spirit, because I can't think of another way for God to do what he's done and for God to do what he's trying to do. If I was God and I made the universe and I made people and I wanted people to know what I was like and I also wanted to draw close to people and I also wanted people to, I want to help people be like me and to be, you know, totally amazing and like Jesus, then, you know, reality is, and I'm invisible, if I'm God and I'm invisible, it's quite difficult. So you kind of understand. When I think about it, I kind of think, you know, God, what are your other options? You know, you could make kind of like, you know, pop-up TV screens, you know, that just appear to everyone. You could have billions of versions of yourself just walking around, you know, billions of Jesuses. You know, that wouldn't work. You know, ultimately, if you're God and you're invisible and you want people to know what you like, you know, you start visiting them in dreams and visions and you might do miracles and stuff like that. And then people, you know, they encounter you, then they write down what happened. That's how we get the Old Testament. But they still don't really know what you're like. You've only got snapshots of your character being revealed. Ultimately, if you want to reveal what you're truly like, you have to come in human form. You have to go, hey, this is what I'm like. This is what I do. This is what I don't like. This is, you know, my choices in certain situations. And I'm fully revealed in human form. That's what God does with Jesus. But the massive disadvantage of that is that only one person can rest his head on Jesus' chest. And that's John. Only one person can be intimate, that intimate with Jesus. But God wants to be close, really close, to absolutely everybody. So what does he do? He says, good that I'm going away, so I can send the Holy Spirit. Why? So that he can be close to everyone. There's, for me, I can't think of another way that God could do what he wants to do, which is to be close to everyone. He has to do it spiritually. He has to do it. You've got billions of people to meet with. The amazing thing about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit, like, because he's infinite, he has the capacity to not be kind of like some distant, you know, person that has millions of agendas. He has the capacity to zoom right in and go, whom, and focus his attention right in on me and right in on you. So in worship, when I look up to, I don't know, the ceiling, God's not up, by the way, because where do the people in Australia look? But when I look up to where I feel like God is, I know that, like, I have God's full attention. And that's via the Holy Spirit. So I kind of think the Holy Spirit, I have these kind of two pictures of God, or this one picture of God with his arms. And one arm is Jesus, and the other arm is the Holy Spirit. And via these two arms, he's pulling all created things to his heart. And the Holy Spirit and Jesus are God's two agents in the world. It's the Holy Spirit, and he's got Jesus. And the Holy Spirit, you know, whenever God does anything in the world, that's via the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit was there at the dawn of creation, hovering over the waters. The Holy Spirit was there in the Old Testament, you know, who guided the stone which David threw into Goliath's head? You know, who brought down the walls of Jericho? Who split the Red Sea? You know, who provided the pillar of fire and the cloud? You know, it was the Holy Spirit. He was there, and the Holy Spirit was there in the conception of Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit was clearly upon Jesus. He's just there throughout the whole thing. You know, whenever there's a healing, whenever someone meets with God, whenever there's, you know, marriage which has been restored, whenever there's financial provision, you know, guys, that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's operating agent in the earth. In my opinion, anyway. So, could we have the slide? So that's kind of like the overview. That's okay. That's a kind of big building block is the Holy Spirit's good. So 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14 is, this is where you need to get into pairs now. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So the issue is there. Well, it's not the issue. The great thing is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So in your pairs, discuss, what does that look like? What is fellowship of the Holy Spirit? What does it look like in the day-to-day of kids and work and life? And how can we work that out? You know, how can we enable that in our lives, the Holy Spirit, being friends with the Holy Spirit? Discuss. How's everybody getting on? Okay. Right, I'm going to be looking for some answers. And if you don't put your hand up, I might just come pick on you. So, firstly, what is fellowship of the Holy Spirit? Don't be shy. So the question is, what is fellowship of the Holy Spirit? Living in his presence? What does that mean? Constant companionship. Well done, Mum. Yeah, being together. Purpose of the Fellowship of the Rings, a little nod to Lord of the Rings, and this kind of joint sense of purpose and togetherness and destiny. Yep. God's indwelling power, yeah. At the back. Listening. Do you think it's two-way listening? I love that. Being liked. The Holy Spirit likes us. We can like the Holy Spirit. Sorry, start again. Yeah, you get to know them. Get to know their likes and dislikes, what they're like, their sense of humor. Does the Holy Spirit have a sense of humor? He invented humor. Of course he does. Yep, at the back. Trusting, yeah, very good. Steve? That's true. Doesn't answer what fellowship is. But, it's fellowship with each other. So, yeah, Howard? Sorry? Eating a meal together? Fantastic. Robin? Sorry? Robin? Never being alone, very good. So there's something amazing and awesome about like the presence of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, is that at times it can be just all totally overwhelming, like, wow, this is God, you know? Yep. Yep, the physical presence of God. Yep. Okay, one last one, Ingrid. Yep, he meets us as a human being. No, that's enough. Sorry. This is great. This is, you know, this is just ask questions and you guys do the work and we learn together. So how can we, the next part of the question was, what can we do to facilitate this, to enable this, you know, this friendship and everything that kind of is encompassed in what's just been said? What can we do to kind of facilitate this and enable it in our lives? So what do people say? Yep, Richard. So you just invite the Holy Spirit into you to be filled. Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good to me. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it. That's massive. That's, you know, it's time, isn't it? You know, for me, the relationships which I invest time into are the most valuable. You know, time is obviously a love language, but it's more than that. It's just, time's a no-brainer, really. It's, now, I'm not going to have a marriage if I don't spend time with my wife. Mother Teresa said, time spent waiting on the Lord is never wasted. That's great, isn't it? That's good. Jan. Fantastic. So just for the mic, Jan basically said something along the lines of practice. Would you say it was practicing the presence of the Holy Spirit? And so it's being expectant, trying to practice being expectant at all times for the Holy Spirit to be with you and to recognize that and to do life with him, to do work, to do meetings, to do getting up in the morning, just to do be expectant about doing life with the Holy Spirit. Brilliant. Tony? Yeah. Awesome. So Tony was saying, if you didn't quite hear, he said when he's in work meetings, he imagines one of the chairs, you know, at the table to be for the Holy Spirit, and he goes, "Right, that's you, Holy Spirit," but doesn't talk out loud to him. Yep, so we engage with the Spirit. I didn't actually ask you guys this, but is there anything that we could do that actually hinders our fellowship with the Holy Spirit? Andrew? When we have no-go areas, like? So having no-go areas in our thought life is would be something that hinders our relationship and our fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I remember, was it Joel Coates who said, something which is a no-go area to the Lord is an area in your life where Jesus isn't Lord. That's quite good. Beth? Entertaining a bad mood. That sounds good. I do that quite a lot, actually. Sorry, Holy Spirit. Yep. Unforgiveness. Yeah. Yep, not following the Holy Spirit, his nudges, get less sensitive. This is great stuff, guys. Vanessa? Not asking for his help. Situations. Yep. I mean, really, like, you know, everything that's being said, it kind of, it's just a relationship, isn't it, really? The Holy, you know, if the Holy Spirit is a person, which he is, it's just a relationship, and it's doing all the things which we do in our normal relationships with the Holy Spirit. And if we make an effort with that relationship, it will fly. And if we don't put any effort into that relationship, it won't fly. It's really simple, really. Fantastic. Any other thoughts, musings, guys? Yeah, wrong priorities. Yeah. Going it alone. Yeah. Actually, that's a really... Yeah, there's something about, like, being relational. I think often, for me, I can often just think about my spirituality as just me and God. But actually, what I find is sometimes when I just get together with other people and we just share and we pray and we're just open and honest, that actually I find that God really meets me powerfully in that. And actually, there's being relational and not going alone with God, but equally with one another. It's like relationality is somewhere in the midst of it, isn't it? With one another and with God. Yep. Fantastic. So don't do it my way. Frank Sinatra. Yeah, that's great. Should we move on? That's good stuff. I mean, that's pretty much the end of the talk, to be honest. Bill, it's kind of what Jan was saying, really, but one of the things which Bill Johnson said, which really has stuck with me, again, it's about practice, which I really try and practice and often fail, is hosting the dove. He has this analogy, which you might have heard before, which is if a dove came and landed on your shoulder and you wanted to keep it on your shoulder, you'd take every step with a dove in mind. One of the things the Holy Spirit does, I think, he helps us guard our souls, I think. I think my view, some people will have different takes on it, but I think that we're basically three-part beings, that we're a spirit, and our spirit is the deepest part of us. That's the part that says in 1 John has never sinned. That's the part of us which has been reborn. That's the part of us which the kingdom of God is within. That's the part of us which is mystically united with Christ. That's the part of us which is seated in heavenly places. It's kind of a mystical thing, the deepest part of us, which is our spirit. And then when I think that we're a soul, and that just means my mind, my emotions, my consciousness, my ability to dream, to create. It's just what goes on in my head, in my heart, and that's my soul. And then there's my body. So those are the three parts which I think that we, you know, are made up of, like God. Three parts as well, and those three parts are echoed in us. Jesus the body, God the soul, Holy Spirit the spirit. So and the soul, like Darry was saying, for those of you who are at Riverfest, you basically have your core, which is that deep part of you, which is the part which kind of no one really sees. That's the part in which, you know, you're just alone with your thoughts, and you have anger, and you might have lust, and you might have struggles, and you might have hopes, and you might have dreams and disappointments and crippling senses of self-doubt and, you know, low worth or great worth or, you know, whatever it is. It might be arrogance. You know, we all have within our humanity, in our core, the bit that no one sees, this kind of wrestling. And I think that's what that part of us is, what the Bible calls the place where we battle for the mind. And that's the battleground, is there. So we have our core, and then basically we have what is our projected personality, which is like, hello, everybody. I'm Dave. I'm the church leader. Look at me. I'm really fun to be with. And then like inside, I might be like, oh, I just don't want to be here. Or, you know, whatever. You know, that often goes through my head, by the way. But not this morning. I do want to be here. This is great. But we all have the core, what's going on inside us. And then we have our projection. And for those of you who are young people, I think we then, well, not just young people, those of you who are of the times, we then have one step further, which is our projected social media personality. So we have our core, our personality, and then our social media personality. The Holy Spirit, I think, and actually, just to say, I think the New Testament, and the whole Bible actually, speaks a lot about us guarding our souls. Jesus talks about the importance of it. Paul talks about the importance of it. It's throughout Scripture about guarding our souls, our decisions, our choices, our thought life, our focus on materialism, or, you know, whatever. There's really, really important to guard our souls. And I think the Holy Spirit comes to help us manage our core, our personality. Let's not talk about that. And helps us to try and merge those things two together. So the distance between what's going on in our core and what's going on over there is not a lot, because I think that's what lack of integrity is, when your personality is miles away from your core. And the Holy Spirit, it comes to help us with both of those things. How does he do that? For me, it all comes down to what Jan said. It all comes down to friendship. And for me, it's just hosting the presence, just every day, just trying to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, recognize God's presence with me, and just hearing his voice. And when I say things, when I think things which he doesn't like, and I can feel the dove about to fly away, I don't quite like that, Dave. I don't want to be here when you're doing that. It's about recognizing it. And that's what conviction is. It says in John, the Holy Spirit comes to convict the world of all sin. And the Holy Spirit, he comes to convict. So it's a quick thing. And it's important to recognize the difference between condemnation and conviction. Condemnation makes you feel really heavy. It's like, oh, you're a piece of crap, you're rubbish, you're worthless, no one's ever going to forgive you for this, blah, 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 blah. It's really heavy. It comes upon you. And that's not from God. Conviction does come from the Holy Spirit. And it's like, I don't quite like that. And it's a quick thing. You're like, oh, sorry, get back into line. And he's like, cool. Great. And it's a quick thing. So the Holy Spirit comes to help us with our soul. Help us manage our soul and the life of our soul. Thank you, Kerry. I appreciate your encouragement. what time do we finish? 5 minutes. Okay. I'm going to finish with this. I think in a meeting, or at all times actually, the Holy Spirit... Could someone come and hold the microphone for me? Alex, can you come and hold it next to my mouth? The Holy Spirit is being poured out. Like said, pouring. And this is us. We can all be vessels, carriers of the Holy Spirit. At any time... We can be like this, or we can be like this, or we can be like this, maybe, or we could be like that. It's okay, I got tea towels. So we can always choose how we want to be like. And it's all about our heart. It's all about whether or not we want the relationship or not. We can, in a meeting, when the worship's going on, we can go like this. Yeah, Holy Spirit! Yeah, Holy Spirit. Actually, God wants to be like this all the time. Come to me, all who are thirsty, and drink. Rivers of water will flow from my innermost being. So I'm full now. And what would happen if I never emptied this? It will go stale. Well, that's a lesson there, isn't it? And actually, it's back to Abraham, and you're blessed to be a blessing. Freely you receive, freely you give. Whatever we receive, whatever comes into us has to go out. Otherwise, it just goes stale. So we've got to give it away. Okay. Stay there, Alex. You're doing a great job. Fill up my jug. Okay. This is, I think, us in real life, in board meetings and stuff. We leak. And that's why it says in the New Testament, we could to continually be, keep on being filled. If we don't fill ourselves up, then we get dry and we get grumpy and we feel like, you know, life, we stop being overcomers and problems and situations, they overcome us instead of us overcoming them. And we're supposed to be overflowers. So another question for you all is, if we're this, how do we become like this? Hands up. Come on. Is it possible? Is it question? Is it possible to have more of the Holy Spirit inside of us? Is it possible to host more of the Holy Spirit? Is it possible to become bigger containers? How? Eat your broccoli. That's it. Right, so let's just stand for the anointing of broccoli. Let's just receive the broccoli. How do we move from this to this? More intimacy with God? Work together? Knowing him more? Growing? Asking for it? Good one. Surrender? Read your Bible. I think it's possible to go from this to this. I also think it's possible to go from this to this. And I think the difference between this and this is love. I think a life characterized by the fruit of the Holy Spirit welcomes the Holy Spirit. What is the fruit of the Holy Spirit? It's love. It's all the manifestations and the outworkings of love. And the opposite is this. And so that's why the Holy Spirit can help us with our character and with our soul, help us to go from this to this. Thank you, Alex. Well done. That's about it, really, isn't it? That's time up. So I will finish on this. the whole Christian life is completely impossible. Do we get this? It is impossible to be a Christian. It is impossible to heal the sick. Jesus doesn't say, pray for the sick. He says, heal the sick. It is impossible to continually love your enemies. It is impossible to continually have an approach to life where if someone slaps you on the cheek, you turn the other cheek. You give them the other cheek. It is impossible to live an existence where we conquer over sin. But the Holy Spirit makes it possible. He empowers us to be like Jesus. The end. Any questions? Okay, so the question was, do we, as when we go from a medium-sized vessel to a larger size vessel, do we need to be remade in the potter's hands? Jan's nodding yes, so I think the answer is yes. The answer is yes, Jill. Be remade. Let's all keep on being made. Cool. All right, let's pray. Rob, do you want to come up and... I think the Holy Spirit is God. And therefore, some people say the Holy Spirit's to point us to Jesus, the Holy Spirit's to point us to God. And that is true, because of course, the more we become close to Jesus and the Holy Spirit, we just become the best human beings. Jesus is our example, the Holy Spirit the Father fills us with love and stuff like that. But the Holy Spirit is God and therefore should be worshipped. So I think it's important that we do worship the Holy Spirit just in our lives. So as Rob plays, I'd just like us just to worship the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that we are to lay on hands. So I'd like to encourage you just to pray with the person next to you and just encourage them and just release the Holy Spirit to them. Fill them up. And let's all cultivate lives of hunger for more of him. So I pray. Holy Spirit, you're absolutely amazing. Thank you just for everything that you are. You created the whole world. You created our lives. You're with us. You created love. You created dolphins. You created joy. You created art. You created everything. You are creativity. And you're constantly creating us and recreating us and molding us and shaping us. And I just pray that you just help us to draw close to you. Help us to know you. Help us to be friends with you. And to love you back in the same way that you love us loads. Amen.